Good afternoon. Welcome to God's house once again, and try to forget about the heat outside. It's nice and comfortable in here, so let's try and stay awake for the next half an hour or so. Let's turn to God's word as we close out our study in Malachi. So we turn to Malachi chapter 4, we read verses 4 to 6, the last three verses of the Old Testament and of the book of Malachi. Messenger of the Lord, the book of Malachi, chapter 4, verse 4. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and the rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the children, hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with the decree of utter destruction. Let's pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, how we bless you for this Sabbath day. In your wisdom, you have given us one day in seven, that our faith may be renewed, that we may come and worship you, our God and our King, that we may receive the benefits of your word, that we may be strengthened in our bodies, in our minds, and in our souls. Lord, would you speak to us now through the pages of the scripture, for this is the living word of Christ. And we pray these things for Christ's sake and his glory alone. Amen. Malachi chapter 4, the last three verses of the book of Malachi form a fitting conclusion to this book. It is the law, it is the gospel, and it is the great day of the Lord. All these three in the last verses of the Old Testament. And this book also completes the book of the 12, which is the minor prophets, the 12 minor prophets, named minor prophets, not because of their unimportance or lesser value, but mainly because of the short nature of these prophecies. And you may be aware that in the Hebrew Bible, the writings and not the prophets conclude the Old Testament, but both the Greek and the Latin versions all conclude the Old Testament with the prophets, and so with the book of Malachi. Now Malachi, like the other minor prophets, all the way from Hosea to Malachi, are anything but unimportant. The minor prophets are indeed powerful writings, as we've seen right here in Malachi. They spoke to the present sins, and they called for present action. And this is what the prophets did. They dramatized the nature of God like few other books do, and then highlight throughout the attributes of God, particularly his sovereignty, his holiness, and his love. And it's also interesting to note that from the earliest times, attempts have been made to change the harsh ending of this book, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. And so the Greek manuscripts place verse 4 after verse 5 and after verse 6, and the Hebrew liturgy repeats verse 5 after verse 6. And I believe the Hebrew Bible continues to print verse 5 a second time at the end of the chapter, of the end of the Old Testament, so that it closes with a blessing and not a curse. But that's no way for unbelief to escape the curse. It is only Jesus who saves. And when we come to the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, the warnings that end in the Old Testament are also present. And if you read Revelation 22 and 10 to 15, you will see the warnings and the curses that are there promised as in this book. But the difference is in Revelation, it ends the last word, verse of chapter 21 and verse 21 of chapter 22, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. And so we have before us these last three verses, a summary, a reminder, if you like, of the contents of the book of Malachi, the prophet. If you notice the characters here mentioned in these three verses, maybe you picked them up already, they are Moses, Elijah, and the messenger of the covenant. Christ, though not mentioned, is implied by his reference to the day of the Lord, which will be ushered in by the messenger. And we mentioned before, the messenger ushered in gives us a panoramic view of the coming of the Lord suddenly to his temple and that great day of the Lord of judgment at the end of all time. And these three persons here present, of course, appear again when on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah and Jesus himself. As mentioned, the law and the gospel and the great day of the Lord, which is a natural conclusion to the law and the gospel. And the law given by Moses, which condemns and cannot save, and the curse of the law, which condemns all outside of the gospel, which was announced, of course, by the forerunner, John the Baptist, a prophet like Elijah. And it's as if Elijah had not finished his work yet. You may remember the story. He's taken up in a chariot of fire from Elisha, and he doesn't die. And it's as if his work was not finished. And then 400 years later, he appears on the mountain with Jesus and Moses and Elijah. Well, that's a question you can ask Elijah when you get to heaven one day. Let's go to our text then and look at our text today under four headings, under four reminders, which is exactly how the prophet describes these last three verses. The first one is a reminder of the law. A reminder of the law. Verse 4 of our text, remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and the rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel, or Sinai used there. The whole of the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses, is summed up in this verse and is phrased in Deuteronomy terms as this exhortation, remember. Remember, 13 times used in the book of Deuteronomy to direct attention to the saving acts of God. Remember, and it is now used here in Malachi to call all Israel to observe the law of Moses. It refers particularly to the obligations under the time of entering into covenant with God. Three verses there, Joshua 8:32. And there in the presence of the people of Israel, he wrote on the copy, stones, a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. Joshua 23 and verse 6. Therefore be strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of Moses, not turning aside from it either to the right hand or to the left. And in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 3, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways, keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. And so we come at the end here, and perhaps we can say, why at the end of Malachi do we refer again and remind the people of God's law? They had already shown in this book their complete inability to keep it in any respect in full, even in one point down through their history and now in Malachi. Surely it was the news of the gospel, the promise of the coming of Elijah in John the Baptist, and the message of the covenant. This is what they needed to hear about. Surely there was no need to go back to the law. And isn't that so much of the church, what the church throughout the world is teaching today? Only gospel, only good news. We don't need the law. The people need the gospel. We don't need to hear about the rules that we ought to keep. We don't need to hear about Sabbath keeping. We don't need to see the commandments highlighted. We need the gospel. That is what the 21st century is saying. Brothers and sisters, This is the thinking of the world. Jesus saves is what is preached, and no wonder the world will not hear us, for we are not telling people what they need to be saved from. We are not telling people that God's law remains his inflexible standard, which is exactly why Malachi at the end of the book is reminding the people of God. Now we've seen in Malachi, the people are unchanged in their sinful ways. God is unchanged. He is immutable. We've seen that. God's judgments are unchanged. God's law is unchanged. And because God is unchanged in his righteousness, so does the expression of his righteousness in the law remain unchanged from generation to generation. And again, in the 21st century, the world still needs to hear that sin is a want of conformity to and a transgression of the law of God. That is the bad news for mankind. That is what will bring God's judgment to his people of old. That is what the messenger of the covenant will come to execute on that great day of the Lord. The justice and the judgment of God against all unrighteousness. And what is unrighteousness? It is a transgression of the law. Therefore, remember the law. Friends, without the bad news, without the law, there is no need for a gospel. Brothers and sisters, for those of us who have found the gospel, that pearl of great price, and have believed his son, have been freed from the curse and the sting of the law, which is death, even for us, the law remains unchanged. For those in Malachi who still feared the Lord and esteemed his name highly, as we saw 2 weeks ago, who believed God's promises, and together with Abraham and the host of the Old Testament saints, have been credited with God's righteousness, even for them, as for us today, God's law remains unchanged. So does our and their obligation to live by that standard. But now we love the law. It no longer condemns us. It has been our schoolmaster. It's been a pointer. It's been a road sign to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been the prick of the law followed by the golden thread of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the psalmist. He delights always in God's law. And this should be the attitude of all believers who've been freed from the curse of the law and have they had their hearts inclined towards the law. Psalm 19 and verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous together. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. And so here in Malachi, the importance of the law is conveyed by that word, remember. Remember. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and the rules I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. And if you look back at Malachi and the sins of the people, they all boil down to this. They forgot the law. They neglected the law. Deuteronomy, the heart of the law, the word remember, is used 13 times to bring God's saving acts before the minds and the consciences of God's people. And the key verse is Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15. You shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. and all his laws. Here in Malachi, the word remember is used of the law itself. And the people are admonished to remember all the decrees and the laws God gave them through Moses on Mount Horeb. So God's mighty works for his people and his laws and his decrees always go together. Now there are people in the world today who want to hold forth the law of God apart from his personal intervention in their lives. If we do this, we become legalists. But there are others, more numerous, as James Boyce points out, they are more dangerous, who want to exalt the experience of God to the neglect of obedience. This cannot be done, simply because the God who acts is also the God who speaks. And if you claim to have a relationship with God, then you must heed Malachi's warning to remember the law of God and to do it. We're concerned to keep the law because God has commanded it, and he's commanded it for us. For we are the spiritual Israel. And if we want to benefit from the new covenant, the covenant with Israel, listen to Hebrews 8 and verse 10. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. Quoting Malachi, I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. We must observe the commands given to Israel, those of them that were intended to be of perpetual obligation to us, the law of God. And the New Testament, and we all know this, reminds us throughout. We've seen this in the book of 1 John. Pastor Sam has been preaching. Let me just give you one. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 to 6. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whosoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar. I do not love my wife. I do not want to keep the Sabbath, and I will not keep it every day. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar. The truth is not in him, but whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way which he walked. Listen to Matthew Henry. He says, the summary of our duty with reference to the law, we must remember it. Forgetfulness of the law is at the bottom of all our transgression of it. If we would rightly remember it, we could not but conform to it. The office of conscience is to bid us to remember the law. That's the first reminder in the book of Malachi. And you can go back and see where the people of God transgressed. They put aside their wives. They did not bring the tithes and the offerings. They did not esteem the God's name. They did not fear him as the Lord. All of those things. Problem, they forgot the law. Believers in Christ, do not forget the law of God. It is our joy. It is our delight. Like the psalmist, the sting has been taken away. Death has been removed. Oh, how I love thy law. The second reminder, the reminder of the coming of John the Baptist. The reminder of the coming of John the Baptist. Verse 5 and the first part of verse 6 of our text. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, the hearts of children to their fathers. And we've already pointed out that this is in fact John the Baptist, and Jesus in fact testifies to that fact, so we won't go back into that. It was a prophet like Elijah, John the Baptist. These two verses here in Malachi come and remind us again that though the people had remained unchanged, just as God's judgments and his laws remain unchanged, that there is gospel hope, and that the promises of God too are unchanged. as the Apostle Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us for the glory of God. And Malachi reminds us of these promises when he repeats this prophecy of the coming of God's messenger who will prepare the way before him. This was spoken of in Malachi for the first time in chapter 3, you may remember, in verses 1 to 4, and now repeated here in our text, in chapter 4, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. Verse 1 of chapter 3, behold, I send my messenger. He will prepare the way before me. And then the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he too is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Friends, God has never left himself without a witness in the world. So neither in the church, but as there was occasion, carried the light of divine revelation further and further to the perfect day. They now had Moses and the prophets and might hear them, but God will go further. And he will send Elijah. He will send the prophet like Elijah. And that day of Christ, that when he came the first time, so too will be the day when he comes again. Though a great and joyful day to those who embrace him, yet a great and dreadful day to those who oppose him. John the Baptist was sent before the coming of this day to give people notice of it, that they might be ready for it and go forth to meet it. Listen to Matthew Henry. He says, the turning of souls to God and their duty is the best preparation of them for the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That quote is in our bulletin for today. So John the Baptist coming as the forerunner resulted in a preaching of a doctrine that turned men's hearts. It had an influence upon them. It worked a change in them. God's word in his mouth was quick and powerful, discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Many had their consciences awakened by his ministry, and John baptized them in the Jordan. He called upon young and old to repent. He did not labor in vain. John's work of removing obstacles and preaching repentance resulted in the hearts of men being turned, just as today the preaching of the gospel is promised to result in repentance and faith, and the promise by Christ himself that none who call upon his name in truth will be turned aside but welcomed. What ought we to do with these great promises of God? There is only one thing to do. We must believe them, and we must take our stand upon them. We must speak our amen to those promises and thus glorify God until the day they are all fully and finally fulfilled, when we will see God face to face. John 5 and 24, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Truly, truly, I say to you, now is coming and now is here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. So friends, we are justified, just like the righteous in Malachi's day, by grace through faith. For them, believing in the promise of God, and we by believing in the reality that has come in the messenger of the covenant. Brothers and sisters, that promise has been fulfilled and continues to be fulfilled in the preaching of the gospel. Even in Acts 4, after preaching of the gospel, what was the result? Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said they had anything that belonged to them was his own, but they had everything in common. And the preaching of the John the Baptist and the preaching of all those after him resulted in the turning of the hearts of the children to their fathers and fathers to the children. And all the believers had everything in common. A reminder of the coming of John the Baptist and the coming of the gospel of Christ. That was the second reminder given in these last three verses. And the third one, our third reminder in this book, a reminder of the day of the Lord. A reminder of the day of the Lord. And we dealt with this more fully 2 weeks ago. In verse 5 of our text again, particularly the second part, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. This once again, a reminder of what has gone before in the prophecy of this book, the day of the Lord, or that great awesome day of the Lord, as says our text. And again, it was chapter 3 when this day was spoken about for the first time. That text we previously noted and combined the first and the second coming of Christ without chronological reference, as the prophets often did, giving us that panoramic view of God's economy in which there is no time limitations. The coming of the righteous one, his only begotten son, the messenger of the covenant. Verse 1 of chapter 3, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. And then as though no time has passed, we read in verse 5, then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppose the hired worker in his wages, the fatherless and the widows, against those who thrust aside the sojourner, and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. Having looked back to what was commanded, Malachi now looks forward to that awesome day of the Lord. An expression used by Joel in chapter 2 in verse 31, the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, for the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. But there will be a warning first, as we have noted, coming of John the Baptist, the forerunner who preached repentance and by whose preaching the work of the messenger who is to come, suddenly comes to his temple, will use to effect change and to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers, the fathers to their children. The mentality of Elijah preached that was affected in the nation like no other prophet. No other prophet so dramatically changed the attitude of his contemporaries, nor so influenced the destiny of a nation as Elijah did. And so here in Malachi, when morality is corrupted and confused, justice is perverted, the promise comes that before that dreadful day, of a prophet like Elijah, whose preaching will set right and cause the people to repent. That, as we know, only possible through the work of the messenger of the covenant and the Holy Spirit of God, so that Jesus says to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit of God. Now we observed 2 Sundays ago that the day of the Lord will surely come. And it will be a day like no other day has been before. A day of final and complete justice and judgment. A day when everyone will appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give account of every deed committed in the body and every wicked thought of our minds, and those who have not believed God will be cast forever into the lake of burning fire. And all those down through history who believed God, and for those since his coming of the Son have believed on him, will be vindicated, acquitted, accounted not guilty on account of the Son's imputed righteousness, and they will enter forever into the joy of the Lord. We also noted that this day would be sudden, unexpected, and very certain, and will be the final judgment to follow. That glorious coming the clouds with his angels, the shout of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and every eye shall see him. And the nations will mourn, for now they will see, now at last they will believe, and bow the knee to him who sits on the throne, who's been given that name which is above every name, and that day confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And you may remember we closed our thoughts there as saying how we need to prepare and be prepared for that day of great certainty. And may this reminder again today stir our hearts to live for him who loved us and gave himself for us, as a reminder for those who are alive at his coming to be found about their Father's work, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. May we fight to ensure that the word of God is faithfully preached, and that our hearts are filled with zeal and love for those who are still lost, and the word of the testimony our lips to give an account to any of the hope that is within us, a reminder of the day of the Lord. There are two more reminders, very briefly. Fourth reminder, a reminder of the fruit of repentance. A reminder of the fruit of repentance. The first part of verse 6 of our text, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers. Those who return to the Lord, those in Malachi's day who, as a result of the prophet's warnings and God's call to return to him, once again feared the Lord, esteemed his name highly, once again obeyed God, which is the fruit of repentance. And it is to those that Malachi just issued this reminder, to those who fear the Lord. For the keeping of the law cannot save you. And we've seen the people of Malachi were not able in any respect to keep the law, and yet there were those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. And so Malachi comes to them, God's people, and he says, remember the law of my servant Moses. Remember it. Remember the law, the statutes and the rules and the commandment I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. Their hearts had been turned, and they know and understand that to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams, and that sacrifices acceptable to God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Those God will not despise. Brothers and sisters, if we claim to have believed on his Son, this word comes to us today. A reminder of the fruits of repentance, that the fruit of the Spirit in our hearts gives expression to this, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the meekness, the self-control. Against such things there is no law. In fact, these things are a keeping of the law. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee? To love mercy and justice, and to walk humbly with your God. A reminder of the fruits of repentance. Fifthly and finally, the final reminder in the book of Malachi, a reminder of the only alternative to repentance. A reminder of the only alternative to not turning to the Lord. And this is nothing less than the reminder of the great and awesome day of the Lord again. The last phrase in the book of the prophet Malachi, the last phrase in the Old Testament, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. A reminder of the only alternative to repentance. This is a warning that has gone out again and again throughout the book of Malachi. If you do not repent, if you will not return, if you will not obey, if you refuse to fear God, if you refuse to honor and esteem his name, then there is only one alternative. And that will be the fire of judgment and utter destruction. The fire of judgment and utter destruction. The implication here is very clear, as it has been throughout the book, lest I come and strike the land with the decree of utter destruction. And verse 5 of chapter 3, then I will draw near for judgment. I will be swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner, and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. Friends, this is no idle threat. This isn't even just a very real possibility. This is as certain as the coming of John the Baptist that has taken place. This is as certain as the birth, the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is all historical fact, and as sure as God is the unchanging God whose word is forever sure in the heavens, he will come again in judgment without grace, without mercy, but this time in holy justice, judgment, condemnation, and with great fire. And the message is as clear as ever. If you have not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God, you are condemned already. Time is running out. The door of grace and mercy, the possibility of repentance, gets slimmer every single day. If you hear his voice, as the VBS children sang, do not harden your hearts. If you hear his voice today, do not harden your hearts. Trust Christ. Call upon his name. Whoever believes is not condemned. Whoever does not believe is condemned already. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Friends, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, if you have not called upon him, it is a new heart that you need. And it is a new heart that he can give you. Do not marvel when I say to you, you must be born again. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that with the terrible judgments that are promised and prophesied in your word, you first send many reminders. You remind us again of your mercy and of your grace and of your long suffering. You remind us again, if we have wandered from you, to return to you. When we have stopped obeying you, when we have forgotten your law, you say to us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. O Lord Jesus Christ, how we thank you that you are the great messenger of the new covenant, that this new covenant is yes and amen, that it is sealed in your precious blood. How we thank you that those of us who are in you today can look forward to that great and awesome day of the Lord, for we will be vindicated, and all our guilt will be thrown into the heart of the sea, and we will be clothed in the white robes of righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that those who have not called upon your name, those who have not esteemed your name, those who do not fear you, that they would call upon you while there is yet grace. O Lord, we thank you for the warnings that come to us again and again. How we thank you that you are not slow in fulfilling your promise, but do not want any to perish. Lord, I pray that we would call upon your name for those who have not done so, that they would no longer harden their hearts. Lord, cause those of us who love you and esteem your name, to want to obey you, cause us to remember and to love your law and to obey you because we love you. Be with us, enable us, help us by the work of your Spirit, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen.